Okay, so we go looking for, I'm going through the book looking for my Android meme notes. So I go along some pages here. We went up to page 46. So we have here.
No, wait, Bob. Is this okay? Are you going? Are you continuing from where you left off last week in some way?
Yeah, I know the exact sentence. It's the employee sentence. That's what we did last, just before the show ended. That was read out. So I'm looking for the next part.
So read the last sentence just to get us back.
It's the one we went into detail. Without the subject's attachment to specific roles and identities from which to become alienated, without that, enslavement permits an escape from social subjection. So the services of the digital Android meme are you get rid of your local identity. But with the requirement of recognizing, but you also have to recognize that traditional conceptions of the human subject must be decomposed with the accompanying loss of anthropocentric perception through machinic, but animal or vegetable becomings. But the shadow of social subjection is long, and humanist suspicions of any kind of enslavement are difficult to dissipate. That was the end. Okay?
Yes, thank you.
Okay, here's a section called The Five Bodies. I annotated. So, okay, I've got to mute because there's noises. Well, there weren't noises. Are they going to stop?
Yeah, it was probably me, sorry.
Okay, so I won't mute. So Guattari, listen to this. Since subjectivity is intimately imbricated means overlaid, intertwined, in mutually dependent bio and mechanosphere. So there's a definition of the machinic human is half chemical, half non-chemical, machinic. But the words here are the biosphere and the mechanosphere. So since subjectivity is intimately entwined, overlaid in mutually dependent bio and mechanospheres, Guattari called in his book The Three Ecologies, he called for three ecosophical registers, mental, social, and environmental, that would aim at an ethical political linkage of the micro and macro levels, building a critique of technocratic solutions and highlighting the role of artists in fostering emancipatory ecopraxies. Art and ecology are closely linked in the production of subjectivity in a way that would assist in extracting potential for existential change and assisting in the development of new processes that are more complex, sustaining, and enriching. I'll read that again. Art and ecology are closely linked in the production of subjectivity in a way that would assist in extracting potential, would assist in extracting potential for existing change. Art and ecology are closely linked in the production of subjectivity in a way that would assist in extracting potential for existing change and assisting in the development of new processes that are more complex, sustaining, and enriching. A new Guattarian mega machine requires the creation of collective assemblages, that's the we, of enunciation, the creation of collective assemblages of enunciation based on eco-political and aesthetic principles that promote re-singularizing subjectifications. The overlapping registers entail that any environmental efforts aimed at global warming or species extinction must be accompanied by a change in collective consciousness and social relations. Otherwise, fighting pollution is just remedial in quotes. For Guattari, it is the city that is at the center of the tri-ecosophical problematic because, quote, the urban phenomenon has changed nature. It is no longer one problem among many. It is problem number one, the city is. The problem sitting at the crossroads of economic, social, cultural, and ideological stakes. The city forges the destiny of humanity. So he's talking the mental, social, environmental registers, ecosophical registers. I would put in the five bodies. Building a critique of technocratic solutions and highlighting the role of artists in fostering emancipatory eco-practice. Those, you have to expand art to include the media environments. Art and ecology are closely linked in production of subjectivity. Well, we do that through the drops in that. We are pointing to a very complex, sustaining, enriching context. The mega machine, the NRME, requires the creation of collective assemblages of enunciation. Whereas before, when I was saying we, remember what I was saying? That's like we may. Oh yeah, building. No. Negotiations of collective actions. Anyways, when I said we, when Alyssa was laughing at me saying we or this or that, that would be a collective, acknowledging the collective assemblage of enunciation. And it's based on eco-political and aesthetic principles that promote re-singularizing subjectifications. That might sound like autonomy. Re-singularizing. Ian talks about you becoming a singularity. The overlapping registers entail that any environmental efforts aimed at global warming or species extinction, hey, that's an environmental effort, species extinction, must be accompanied by a change in collective consciousness and social relations. Otherwise, fighting pollution is just remedial. The way ION goes about... creating subjectivity is very advanced, because ION includes collective consciousness, social relations, fighting pollution, has a whole different definition of these issues. Often it's the exact opposite. That would be the way to create individual singularity, the way ION's doing it. Might be confusing, but he has no choice but to do it that way. So we are creating a new civilization, a city. And this city is at the center of the ecosophical problematic, or the triangulating problematic, because the urban phenomenon has changed nature. Well, the update is the magnetic city of the global membrane. The new city is the magnetic city of the discarnate communication matrix we're in right now. That is the new city, and that has changed nature. It's no longer one problem among many. It is the city, this membrane of influence, is problem number one, the problem sitting at the crossroads of economic, social, cultural, and ideological state. The city forges the destiny of humanity. So the analog triangulation is hopeless, and Gary's saying, agreeing with Guattari, that we move forward into a new city, which the city forges the destiny of humanity. That's what we're doing. So I apply these words to us.
And for him, it's the number one problem.
Right. It's an ongoing issue that we're on top of, but we have many solutions for it. Okay, so then the next paragraph says, if there is only one machine in the future, it is a planetary city, whose diverse components are scattered over every surface of a multipolar urban rhizome encircling the planet. Good description of Iandom. Drawing on the existing north-south divide.
That's really good.
Yeah, but we have the one machine, the Android meme, or
multipole.
The ION. Yeah, multipolar. This ION has diverse components, which are scattered over every surface of a rhizome. And this rhizome is a multipolar urban environment. But if he means like Toronto, chemical body urban, that's not enough. We have the global membrane where we're in right now. That's the new city. So the multipolar urban rhizome encircling the planet. ION definitely encircles the planet. Then it says, drawing on the existing, talking about Guattari, drawing on the existing north-south divide and rich-poor distinctions, Guattari moves in the direction of a subjectivity that has escaped from capitalist valorizations. Aina said that. Capitalism is not appropriate. Employing these and other similar binaries and answers to other values based on solidarity, emancipation of oppressed groups, social reinsertion of the aged, etc. None of those are issues that Aina is for. They can be side effects, but they're not what should be focused on. So that's where Aina's a bit different from Guattari. Guattari rejects the universalist presumptions of architectural modernism in the manner of Le Corbusier, that kind of old modernist architecture, for a more non-specialist attention to the qualities of the subjectivities that they aspire to produce through particularities of sites and inhabitants. Now, that sounds familiar. Maybe I read that. He rejects the universalist, the homogeneous, we're all one thing, presumptions of architectural modernism as expressed in their architecture, in the manner of Le Corbusier is a good example of that. Instead, we want a non-specialist attention to the qualities of the subjectivities they aspire to produce, the architects aspire to produce through particularities of sites and inhabitants. Well, that's where they would invoke Aion for architectural wisdom. So it's like people are willing to be programmed. They recognize the indefatigable and unraveling and evolving in the Android meme can't be stopped, as Aion said about that futurist. And so trying to define what you are in relation to that is what we offer and what the words here are offering. These qualities of the subjectivities that aspire to produce them through particularities of sites and inhabitants, so the ground operating on you, creating a new kind of subjectivity. These qualities themselves carry proto and partial subjective functions and cannot be abandoned to the whims of gentrification, market forces, consensual tastes, and so-called democratic processes of decision-making easily manipulated by financial interests. All that is what Aion mocks all that.
Wow.
What are you wowing at? The inventory or as what?
The way the words are helped sort of, they bundle together what, well, could you read it again?
It's the Android meme.
Yeah,
some of its parts.
Some of the confusion and the mass, the after image, essentially, they bundle the after image.
Right. This description does. These qualities themselves carry proto and partial subjective functions. They're quadriphenic. They're not complete. And cannot be abandoned. You cannot, these subjectivities that we now have, like this guy in Barry or near Jason making this music and having it played out here, he never expected that. He doesn't have to go through the music industry to be heard. He may be looking for money, though. There's the issue. So these qualities themselves carry a new kind of subjective function, which is proto and partial. And it cannot be subdued, knocked off by the whims of gentrification, market forces, consensual taste, and so-called democratic processes of decision-making, easily manipulated by financial interests.
Yeah, that's the visual, like, literary setup that Catherine Hales was trying to deal with too. It's like the one system, you know, this a dominant taste or some sort of democratic trend that still has to do with this, like, we're all in it together and we share some sort of shared space.
The autonomy of the fifth of the chip body is what's being celebrated here. And then Trump came in to represent the chip body autonomy and mocked the old TV body landscape, what they call the media.
While trying to retrieve the chemical body with his lip service, his mouth.
On the surface, I seem to say he has other agendas, but they could not be articulated. They could not be believed. So he is putting it into the folk culture in their terms. But they recognize the advantage of balancing off the global membrane.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's doing a modern version of turning off television. McLuhan said, okay, we're going to go into a global theater. If you keep this up, it's going to upset you. A lot of identity crisis. Maybe we should do it slower.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Trump is trying to balance the trend toward Android meme, signifying no humans available. and he calls that the working people, and he wants to give them a breathing room. And so he's saying we got to stop the globalist pressures. We got to sort of reassert, prop up, create a, don't know if it's a Disneyland, but a working, functioning factories. We have donated enough to the globalization. We need to balance it off. And so it's being called right-wing nationalist. What else they put it down with? It'd be, okay, the globalization, unless you're on the drops, is a big problem for the average stiff. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
If you're on our products, it's not a problem. But for people, we're pretending we're interested in the stiffs, the pinks, and these people got a lot of problems just to survive. They need to be emphasized now, not the increasing impersonal Android meme digital apps that are running amok.
Desubjectification. Yeah.
And so Trump, he's not a fascist. He's retrieving the meme of fascism, or he's retrieving fascism, but it can only be a meme. And so people are going to be puzzled with why he can't implement any of his program. But they don't understand that that's not what's being implemented. That's just a recognizable folk culture retrieval.
Right.
Beautiful tetra management by him. And even if he doesn't have a fucking clue what he's doing, me and Ion are doing it behind the scenes, taking advantage of him anyways.
Is that what he's referring to as both proto and partial?
Yes.
It's just, he's just throwing out blurbs of that appeal to people's subjectivity. Americans.
Proto would be proto-Quadrophenia. It's the first time Quadrophenia has been blatantly in the White House and almost post-Quadrophenic.
Oh, nice.
And it's partial. He doesn't have a complete personality. He doesn't have a whole part that dominates. Nobody has that anymore. It's a sliding signifier of different aspects of personality. Or of decision making, or of goal orientation. It's a flux, fluxy flux.
Hmm.
And so
we're
only hearing the Android meme objection to what he is, or celebration what he is by the so-called alt-right and his supporters. But none of them, anti or pro, have a clue of what's unfolding in front of them. And so we're using this book so they can get a clue if they dare to understand me. Because this book has the quotes that we need to work with, right? It's the closest to Quadrophenic inventories.
Yeah, in a way, Trump is as startling as when Ion says, you know, when we talk about chemtrails or radiation, and Ion says, bring on the radiation. You know,
that's what Trump's doing.
Go ahead.
And yeah, that's what he's doing. And all the humanist professors are outraged that he believes in vaccinations, or that he gives them an opportunity to be part of people's lives by bringing in choice, or he doesn't believe in global climbing. All totally correct from Ion's point of view, if you know what's really going on with the climate. You know, the climate's changing, but it's not going to a disaster. So you can see that the objections from the liberals or from the anti-Trump forces are so puny that they don't hold. So this guy who went into, this outsider went into Georgia to run in the election yesterday to try to humiliate Trump, he didn't do it. He didn't win enough. And so the headlines are the Democrats ever going to win again? It's like people realize these Democrats just haven't got enough of a program to beat the negative differences of the proto-partial subjectivities out there 24/7, you know, ransacking every commentary place they can type.
Not for 37 years, is what Ion said.
Yeah, 37 fucking years they're going to have to wait. And that's when, you know, we'll be in charge and we'll kind of just, you know, we'll say, well, there ain't no fucking White House, but you guys insist on living it, so here's a little Disney version. Go hang out there. You know, you can
What was that, 37 years? What a
Disney version.
Ion said it would take 37 years before the Democrats had another chance at power.
Yeah, some kind of...
Oh, yeah, that's power. Right. Yeah.
They're still around in 37 years?
Yeah, and then you have the Republicans aren't... And the Republicans are not in power. Something else is in power. It's called, you know, Trumpism.
Now, Bob, I have to ask a question about your chart, which you've already updated. Do you go beyond 2020 in your updates?
Well, if you go back to CKLN, people used to ask me, what happens after lockdown Bob Rule? And I used to say, war breaks out between me and the Church of Subgenius. Now, in a way, with Ion, the war started because they were in big trouble when Ion showed up. I had brought out my super bomb, the MOAB bomb, right?
Yep.
The biggest fucking bomb. And they just withered away. And so it was true. I was not foreseeing Ion. So after lockdown Bob Rule, which happened in New York in the Barnes & Noble stores, that's the manifestation of it, me interrupting people's book launches. That was lockdown Bob Rule. And then I was rewarded with paradise, and Adam and Eve finally get to the Garden of Eden here in 2008. At that point, we didn't know what was coming after that. So then Ion comes, and then we're in the war, but the war is easy. It's easy to win that war. So my prediction of what happens after 2020 was a bit limited. It's more accurate than anybody else could make it. Unbelievable. Nobody would believe that I wouldn't even be in that situation, but I was. But now we have to say what happens after 2020 under the new Ionic revelation. I don't know what that means. It'll just be all good news and kind of a stealth, I guess.
It just hit me differently tonight that this is all happening in America. Which obviously other countries, and because of the discarnate state in the global village of electronic conditions and the internet, blah, blah, blah. It's a global situation. But it's on America's shoulders, you know, what's happening. I guess
America's
I don't really have a point.
America's the only country
different.
In the world. This continent, say North America. Nobody has the beautiful environments that we have in variety. They might have aspects, but most countries are tiny little nothings. Those fucking places in Europe are ridiculous. You know, Belgium is the size of Nova Scotia or something.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so they had to sort of get all Europe together, one big continent, sort of, and approximately. But they don't have the technology we have. They don't have the super highways or whatever we got. Now, they've got that magnetic – they got some better things like their trains, and there's some potholes in that in America. But the range of America as an environment and all the bodies are here, who has that with the latest stuff? The country is the last country. It's the last country.
And the fact that there's states helps because the country itself is kind of quadriphenic because it has all these states within this one thing. Like if you think of other large countries,
they don't have
they don't have that same setup. So there is really something about these United States.
These United Snakes. It's a very, in that sense, it is not a global, it's not an earthly place. Like Ion says, it's from another world. It is totally unique in its many environments. And actually, it's not talked about very much, what we're saying.
Yeah. And then you get into the night, like the whole world is in Nigeria with the tribalism and everything's kind of going. So there's that sort of country meme that remains relevant,
yeah,
as well as America.
Yeah, Trump is America can have any meme go out there. But
yeah,
you emphasize the tribal meme for the rest of the world who still thinks they're tribes. And so we're encouraging them to stand up to the Android implosion. And they'll be able to do it once they get our cold fusion and all that.
Mm-hmm.
So, you see,
yeah,
Trump's optimism, just take it as Ian says it is just a front for you, Bob. All that you're claiming you're going to do, Bob, you know, solve disease and deal with the new diseases and the energy problems, everything, your preposterous utopian layout, even though it's not naively utopian, is what you're saying is going to come out of here, Bob. Well, that's what Trump's saying. Bob's
mm-hmm.
going to make America great again. Bob's going to make you have your jobs or some kind of slack where you'll have opportunity to do what you would like to do. And for those who want the pain and suffering of a discipline of a job, they'll have that too. So all of his optimism is almost like propaganda for Dobbstown.
Hmm. Yeah.
I mean, we get, you know, out of America becomes the health solutions. You know, if you put the whole population on our products, well, boy, that population would be crazy. They'd be very excited.
Hmm.
They'd do all kinds of things. So just looking at that, I haven't looked at that too much. At all the Trump, if I ignore people's objections to the ideology of Trump, the old-fashionedness of it and all that, and you just say, geez, he's just promoting Bob and Dobbstown and Idom, then it makes sense.
Yeah. He's the way out, but not in the way that anybody's thinking about it.
Right. That's right. It's a breakthrough.
Yeah.
And if he keeps winning and doesn't get impeached or killed or whatever, then that he'll surely be doing. That's what he's about. About us. You know, that's the only reason for him to survive. I mean, Ian said that to me. He says, forget about Trump, Bob. It's all about you. He says, Steve Bannon is just filling your chair until you show up.
Yeah. Yeah, and when you think about what, like, you say the SEPTAD.
That's seven.
Did you align the SEPTAD and cold fusion, cold play?
No, the hex attic is when the terminal caused by... Yeah, the hex attic is the turmoil caused by us coming forth, which is what we've been inside for the last 8 years. Actually getting the hex attic technologies may be the SEPTAD. Maybe.
Right.
Because
we're in the middle of
that turmoil right now, mm-hmm. and that's why Ion's not here. We're in the middle of juggling that hex attic situation, the birth of it, the end of the pregnancy. So here's the thing.
La la.
I can sit here and make these claims, and as impressed as Roxy, we ain't a cult. We're the only people doing sound like a cult, and we're not a cult. We don't need to be one. And we can give you testimonials, and if you fucking open up your mind, we'll say, look how successful we are with our products.
Mm.
It's like that lady said, well, more people should fucking be yelling about this. So we prove that we're doing what I'm claiming we are going to do. We actually can prove it. But that's never happened in any public movement.
Right.
You might say, okay, did Jonas Salk, he invented the penicillin, and that helped people for a while. But America kept getting sicker and sicker anyways. Didn't help much. Helped one disease. We help everything across the board. You can apply our stuff to anything. It's for healthy people. So they keep ascending. And you don't know how healthy you are, so you just start improving. And you don't worry about what your diagnosis having, because the solution is not going to be provided by the medical fraternities. It'll be provided by us, and it'll work on things that you didn't even know you had an issue with.
Yeah. It's also aesthetically pleasing how you've been addressing the atomic bomb in 1945 and how that would have been this the disappearance.
You mean the McLuhan thing? Okay, you said I've been addressing it? What did you just say?
Yeah, you've been bringing up the atomic bomb, McLuhan's point on the atomic bomb being the end of the chemical body.
End of linear history.
End of linear history, that everything after that became, well, you say
homeopathic. We're all running on the same spot and creating homeopathic resonances and frequencies within it.
So what's aesthetically pleasing to me is I think about the atomic bomb, and that's such an image in everybody's consciousness. But then Coldplay is this new retrieval of that image,
it's not a retrieval of the atomic bomb. It's a retrieval of a little box you attach on the side of your house.
I know, but it works on that level. It doesn't retrieve the atomic bomb in any way, but it works.
It's as devastating. It's as devastating and threatening.
Yeah, and I
to other media, it's threatening to the Android meme, to the complex of machinic squaring of itself, represented by the oil industry or the electronic cartel. Uh-huh. Remember, Enron sold electric environments to people.
What is that?
Enron sold electric utilities to countries. That's what they sold electronic, environments to countries, and then they bankrupted themselves.
Are you saying they sold electricity to countries? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, they would build hydro dams and whatever power plants, mm-hmm. and I think something like that. Whatever electric utilities requires to be implemented in a country, that's what they sold. And they then, got superseded by Android meme forces, and they went bankrupt. But the
They went bankrupt because they were showing loans as profits.
Yeah, they were all confused. They thought they were. If you go into business trying to make a traditional profit and take care of your workers and all those categories we just erased, you'll get in trouble. You have to realize you're just doing what you're doing, and there's no categories fit to explain what you're doing. Because on that level, you can avoid taxation. You're not paying taxes, blah, blah, blah. And they have traditional hierarchy. They got a boss. They got accountants. They have to pay taxes or whatever they thought they were paying. And you get involved with that, you're going to get all confused and contradicted. Yeah, they got to the point where they were giving out huge loans and claiming those loans were profits. That's how fucked up their conceptualization within the implosion of the Android meme. They didn't know what body they were in.
Bob, that was a big scandal affair.
Yes. Who's that? Who's saying that? Is that Gene or is it a different voice?
Debbie?
No, Deb.
Oh, Deb. I knew, it's a Debbie voice from Boston. That's right.
Yeah, that was scandal.
Well, that's what I'm talking. Yeah, of course it's a scandal. We know that, Deb. We know it's a scandal. I'm not talking about it as a scandal, though, am I?
No.
I'm saying that they got confused. They were part of the beginning of the confusion of the Bush era, where the banks didn't trust each other, and they started handing out loans, mortgage, subprime rates, and based on no normal accounting practices.
Yeah, the mortgage subprime rates, exactly.
You see, they didn't know that money was free. And they were giving it out as if it was free, but then the visual space, the hierarchy says you're you and not anybody else, and you're trying maybe could become CEO of this company. The old hierarchy from on the economic level, on the personal management level, did not apply. And they kept trying to adjust themselves to the hierarchy and claim that, I'm the new manager and you're the CEO and I fire him and we're going to lay off five people. You know, all that stupid business talk of trying to juggle the chemical body in a discarnate electrified. It doesn't work.
They couldn't reconcile on all levels. They couldn't
reconcile. Yeah. And it's like McLuhan said back in the 70s. there's yeah. not a politician who doesn't have a conflict of interest. You actually look how they live and do their business and then apply the old constitutional laws. Everybody is contradicting, as Ian says, breaking the law, because the visual laws can't handle the way people are involved in so many different environments, globally, locally, that it doesn't follow the boundaries of the country anymore.
And that was a long shadow, Bob. I mean, American
yeah.
history is only a couple hundred years old, but that was a long shadow that's in some
what,
ways
visual
being
space?
Revealed. Trump is revealing.
Yeah, visual space. Look at the, I was going to say, you were saying long shadow. I think I forgot it. There's another wrinkle there. They're always saying employment at this level. And anybody with a computer is always saying fake statistics. Unemployment is higher or lower. They always can criticize, LaRouche says this all the time, criticize the government's statement of what the unemployment levels have been. Okay? That's because they're made up, and they can only be made up because
yes.
there is, as McLuhan said in 1977, there's no such thing as unemployment.
Yes.
So it's a genuine fake. They're arguing over how fake, how genuine this fake statistic is. And nobody admits that's what's going on, because then their jobs evaporate. Their roles of correcting the statistical profiles of the crowd, to quote Understanding Media, do not apply. They're sliding signifiers. So the most accurate statement is that we're in a world of quantum fluctuations, where what you thought you were looking at never was there, because what you thought you were listening to, you hadn't heard. That's the actual reality we live in.
But with Enron, wasn't it also like they were kind of, being corrupt?
Yeah, they thought they were managing. They thought they were getting profits. They thought they were getting perks. They thought they could go run off to clubs or Playboy Club or do this and sell drugs. They were doing all kinds of crazy autonomous chip-bodied works. Ken Lay was the guy who fucking faked his death. Remember, he killed himself, supposedly? He just faked his death and went off somewhere else. So they never got caught, just like Bernie Madoff never got caught. He's in jail, and he's leaving jail every other day. He goes to other worlds. So what is it? So Enron, the management, just got confused about what the perks were.
I see. But,
Jean saw that in government. Jean could actually, she has among the group here,
yeah.
the most workaday experience of the corporate bullshit. And she didn't know that's what was going on, but when she now thinks back, that's why there was confusion in her own jobs.
I'm recalling any number of examples. And one was just in my program of child care assistance, which is one in a multitude of programs within the Department of Human Services, if I could reconcile with the accounting department in Human Services, if I could come within a couple million dollars, that was good. And that was just one program, because we couldn't balance to zero. We were that far off. And when I think of other budgets and other, that balancing, you take that on the state level for all of the programs that are funded by a multitude of funding streams, and then on the federal level, it's just impossible, absolutely impossible. And that's just with the numbers. And the other thing, post 2008, I remember having discussions with my directors, my PhD economist directors, and about the unemployment rate and how rapidly it was rising, and how we also knew it was being adjusted. They say unemployment rates are adjusted for the following factors, which is just a term, adjusted.
Yeah.
And they
yeah.
make changes
yeah.
and they redefine
sliding
it
signifier.
And they readjust. But I remember my director, me saying, okay, why are we, okay, within days of it occurring in the fall of 2008, papers came through my office, and the term the Great Recession already existed within state government, which means it came down from the federal level, that term, the Great Recession.
Yeah.
And I remember asking, well, what determines a recession from a depression? Why are we using the term recession now? because depression, the definition in the economic dictionary, a depression is an extreme recession. That was the definition that they looked up. And my director said, oh, well, unemployment rates aren't near as high as they were during the depression. And I said, well, how do we know that? Because you use unemployment rates. You use the data from unemployment, that program, the benefit program of unemployment, which didn't exist during the Great Depression in the 20s. So even the way we were measuring unemployment
rates. Well, what did he say to that? He didn't tell us his response.
He was dumb. He just, nothing. There was no response to that. And that's what it goes, Bob. Is it collective clairvoyance that there's that gap where we just, in our minds, justify.
Fill it in. Right.
What we're being told. Because, these were PhD economists. And that's part of what, blew my brain was like, they're so,
you know why he couldn't,
so stuck.
The reason he couldn't respond is that if you think deeply enough, then you realize you don't exist and the android meme is what exists. And most humans can't think into that level because then it's a big confusion. So they just stop and go back to the fake words, to the partial subjectivities and the partial truth and the partial this, partial that.
They grab something that maintains their pattern. You know, this is it. And it's that justification that goes on all the time that they're not even aware of.
Yeah, now I know that your experience of sitting there talking with your boss, many, say, upper management jobs are people defining about what are we going to say in our next report? They have to make up fucking patterns for a world that's going faster than their patterns can be make sense in.
Yes.
That's what
and
they
was
the
part of
doctor jobs
that,
were doing.
Yeah,
we were doing
we
that.
Worked on that spin. We worked on that spin, but I never had to, you know, we got to say anything we wanted behind the scenes.
Yeah.
And I never had to go public in that forum. But
yeah, so endless spin. And it's almost that people say, why can't capitalism be long-term? Why are they short-term? Why are they just worrying about next quarter profits? Well, nobody knows. There's no reality beyond the next 3 months. And it's tough enough coming up with fake statistics of how you're doing well and they aren't doing well for a three-month period.
Yeah, you realize that the best predictor is the news.
Yeah.
You know, you watch how news stories come out during legislative session. And they seem unrelated, but I'll be darned if they aren't planned and programmed.
Right, so everybody's reacting to the word that makes the market and the incredible autonomy of all these different businesses that they have, but they must come up with an explanation to their clients, to their audience, about how they are in relation to the Android meme's word that just got uttered.
Yes.
So you're always in a state of conversation. Corporation,
part
of macroscopic
science,
gesticulation. Macroscopic
particle
conversation.
Science.
Particle science, right. And you're always, that's why public relations is very important. Like, look at the White House, the chief's Sean Spicer, what is he, the spokesman or something, whatever, chief spokesman? He has to answer questions every fucking day. You know, he has to explain themselves. They got to come up with bullshit. And the hypocrisy is the media makes up the stories, they make up news, and they get mad at Trump for making up shit. Nobody admits it. Look, we're in a making environment. There's no time to match with some standard that we lost sight of back in 1938. That's the date that Ion quotes, 1938.
Why that date?
That's when the books sort of didn't make sense, and then they kind of let China run the show and all that secret stuff. The Federal Reserve locked in at that point in 1938.
Mm. Oh, maybe the gold standard was removed.
Whatever
back then?
Chemical body standards they thought they were trying to preserve. They got fucked up in 1933, and China had to buy a big chunk of the gold to get out. America was in bad. America's always been in bad shape. But see, that's accounting. That's visual space trying to keep up with the wealth that America was making, regardless of what the book said. But on the book level, they had to. They needed help because that's an environment. That's one of the environments around here, bookkeeping. So the Chinese came in and helped, and so they bought up a big chunk of the gold. I think it is, and then that's. That finally balanced the Federal Reserve so then the Federal Reserve could go forward and be the Federal Reserve that it really was not being since for like 30 years.
Yeah. When you said McLuhan said there was no such thing as unemployment, did you mean that in the fact that, like, just intaking information is a job?
It's work. Yeah, that's what this book's saying, critical semiotics.
Yeah.
Everybody should be put on a guaranteed income. Everybody's working by just participating because so many of the programs are stupid, you know, TV shows and that, but they should be happy that some people are listening and coming and sitting in the audience. They should be paid. That's work, you know. Yeah, we'll pretend you have a viable show. And, of course, they don't pay people, so the audiences are fickle. And so the show turnover is incredible. It's amazing how many TV shows have been made, say, the last 5 years. They come up and they last 3 weeks and then they're gone. And then the big CEO's got to come up with another fucking show, you know. They got so fucked up they made RuPaul a celebrity, for fuck's sake. I mean, that's really scraping the barrel, right? When you start bringing in chemical, biological mutants and making them celebrities. I'm just appealing to my alt-right constituency. One part of our constituency. Everybody's our constituency, so I just throw a little bone to them, okay?
Yeah, no,
We are racist, anti-Semitic, anti-women, anti-men, anti-pets, anti-children, everything. Plus, we are pro-everybody. We are bringing you utopia. We're the biggest birthday cake you're ever going to get. You know, we're wonderful, but we're also bad. Just like Ion. He goes from being an angel to a fucking demon right within a three-hour show, right? We cover the whole spectrum.
Don't leave anybody out.
We don't leave anybody out.
Gene, did you have any other things to say about that, what you were covering there?
Oh, I was just trying to come up. We're the most amoral, unethical
pattern.
Yeah, that can.
Okay, I got one for you, Gene. When you were talking about we made $400 here, give or take $25. Well, what was it like? Well, we made $3 million or $10 million, but that's really not really. It really was only $8 million. They said, "Oh, that's all right. Let it ride." Remember when you were saying that?
Yes.
Within couple million dollars.
Yeah, maybe just get it in a couple million. Well, in McLuhan's number chapter in Understanding Media, he talks about, you know, pre-printing press or way back there, maybe in Roman times, even in tribal smaller tribes, they never counted the exact number of individuals. They just go, okay, we got about 400 over there, we got 300 here, and 25 there. They make estimates because nobody had a private identity. Nobody was important as a singular body.
Right.
It's not until you have the printing press, everybody got a name and a lineage and an ID number. That's a god. Everybody's a god after the printing press, and you're an important entity, even though society still was messy. But it was real messy before that.
Well, I wondered, okay, Bob, so...
That's what they're doing. So my point is we're retrieving the messiness of the pre-visual society.
Yes. Oh, that's bizarre. Earlier tonight, I wanted to ask, how did that reconciling in the number system and being exact using numbers, that whole process must have been related to the changing of the alphabet, the phonetic alphabet, you know, is there a relationship there of being exact?
Well, when you start having the abstract schizophrenic effect of the phonetic alphabet, meaningless signs and sounds, supposed to mean something. So that's the time of Socrates, Plato. So it took like 500 years, and Croker writes about this, it took 500 years for the new precision of writing to figure out how you reconcile the contradictions of experience, which any pre-literate person knows. They know they're not good, they're bad, they're this, they're that. It's all mixed up because it's not an issue whether they're not trying to be precise. All right, you have many whole range of emotions or abilities or neuroses or crimes you've killed in the pre-alphabetic situation. So it took 400 years for the contradictions of experience, I think it's called, until Augustine came up with the solution. He, instead of having the traditional problems like mind versus body or motion versus stillness, all the polarities of philosophy that came in with the phonetic alphabet, absolute time versus absolute motion, you can go back and read a history of philosophy. These are the things that was argued back then. Is the ground of existence motion or is it stillness, right? So they had these contradictions everywhere or polarity arguments. So what did Augustine do? He created a third term. He went around the tension between polarities, which were not an issue before writing, before the phonetic alphabet. Once you start to get precise and get schizophrenic and think you need balance in some abstract way, it gets solved when he invented the idea of the soul that reconciled and rode above the contradictions in experience. So he actually created the trinity, or the triangle, was the individual soul factor that got written about by Augustine. That resolved it. They went to another level, and you couldn't go to that level unless you were schizophrenically creating an abstract place to go to. Isn't that amazing?
So there were no contradictions of experience before.
They weren't an issue. They became an issue when they started being precise, like when Aristotle started defining everything. He'd say, well, there are four kinds of weather and four kinds of apples. You know, this is what he did. He did all this categorizing because he's encyclopedic. And nobody could figure out what it really meant or how to resolve it. And then Augustine solved it 400, 500 years later.
And we've been
and
doing
then
that
Finnegan's
ever since.
Wake.
Then Finnegan's Wake retrieved the confusion again.
Yeah.
They killed the soul. Preparing the way for Ion, who says, sorry, boys, the soul doesn't even leave here.
Just a bad
soul doesn't even go
device.
To heaven. What?
It's just a bad recording device.
Yeah, bad tape recorder. But the but if you get what I just said, it's an amazing understanding of where the Christian abstract devotion to abstract visual space, the void created by the schizophrenia of the alphabet, of constantly translating the meaningless signs and sounds into meaningful somethings, that space is why everybody get devoted to going and living there. That became heaven. Whereas other cultures never had a fucking heaven to go to, that you live to go to a space after you died.
Yeah, we had to resolve the contradiction that didn't exist.
Right. And the other religions, they say you didn't die. You just went on to better places. They had a little bit of effect of writing there. They talked about they lost the power of the present, and they said, yes, you are going to die. You know, Aboriginal people, they don't die. And as Ion says, cavemen, when they did die, they couldn't tell the difference. There was so little veil. Mm. So you see how the medium of, you know, writing and phonetic alphabet really altered the psyche and then laid it out for Christianity. And then it became a whole other level of problem when it became spread around the planet through the printing press. Because the printing press was not what Christianity was about. It was about oral ritual, you know, the Catholic setup. When people started to read the concepts, which was really fucked up, no wonder Ion calls it the Dark Age when Protestant comes in and everybody starts reading and interpreting abstract symbols that aren't even appropriate to your actual parallel worlding life.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Beautiful. Good, beautiful pattern there. So then electricity comes
thing?
In and slices through the abstract space. It goes right through the isolation that the abstract visual space had created. It collapses it. And then all of culture since, you know, last 140 years is trying to figure out what is this new space in comparison to the old meme of literacy that we can't get rid of.
Well, it's a wave. It's nice to think of it like a wave that just...
Yeah, it washed away the...
Permeated everything.
The ivory towers. Yeah, it washed away the ivory towers. Or, as I would say, it starts to melt away the mortar that's holding the rocks together in the visual space wall.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Nice oar, Bob. That was good. Good tactility there.
Yeah, nice rhythm. Well phrased.
Oar. Oar.
All right.
Could be this. Or this.
Yeah, the oars. That's right. The many oars. Let's see how Mr. Jason, who's qualified to understand this because he's read more McLuhan than you guys. Aren't you impressed with my patterns, Jason? I just unmuted him.
Speechless, Bob.
Yeah. Even the McLuhanites never got this far. But Croker did. You have to give credit. Croker figured it out. And he as a young man leaving high school, he got interested in being a priest. So he went in the seminary. So he learned about whatever you learn in Catholic education, you know, Augustine, Aquinas stuff. That's why he wrote, he's one of the few people to write about the Aquinas part of McLuhan, almost got to the stages of apprehension. But he also wrote about St. Augustine, probably because he had those ideas in his training before he gave up being a priest.
So let's get back to the stages of apprehension. Could we do that now, or do you have more to do on
well,
that?
Well, we're doing that. We're going to do more Android Meme, and we're showing the Android Meme miming the stages of apprehension that the chemical body had, and it's really confusing for the chemical body even to figure out what the stages of apprehension are in the Android Meme. But
I like the A signifying. Yeah, that's really that is nice. That's a nice little anchor there.
Right.
For the no language, no time aspect of the Android meme mimicking
post-human.
States of apprehension. Yeah, post-human. Yeah, wow. I mean, even just getting back to like McLuhan saying under electronic conditions you live 200 years every 12 months.
Yeah.
That if you just think about that for even 5 minutes or just ESP it or proprioceptive it or however you're going to fractal it. And it's that's incredible. That's an incredible statement.
Yeah.
How your own perception of your day to day gets fucked up and changed that radically. And we're beyond those conditions. We're way past that. So crazy man.
And see, that's what you do. You in social mortar, you compare. You say, okay, 200 years ago, they didn't live 12 months. 200 years every 12 months. So we're different. So what are our media going to do about that? What are our institutions going to do? You know. We're always dragging the rearview mirror along with us. And at a certain point, it requires a war to collapse it.
Mm-hmm.
Or some kind of, crisis. Let's see. So we did. I'm looking at my inventory.
So you're saying Trump is the...
It's like a new technology that no one can see the environment and...
Trump is the effect of the collapse that you just mentioned.
Trump is an effect of Iandom.
He's the new drop.
Even on the drops. But people can only see one phase back. So he is the Android meme quadraphenic extreme parts before Ion in extremis in front of him.
Yeah.
Like
Ian
said that Trump beat the media, killed the media. Well, that happened 10 years ago with Web 2.0, say, when they couldn't control what anybody could put out there on their YouTubes and all that. So that happened 10 years ago. So the environment, the older media, will catch up to that. And we've had so many changes in the last 50 years. Every president represented a radical updating, attempt to catch up to every new technological changes that was happening in every decade the last 60 years. Well, the last 10 years had to be caught up with the next president, and that's what Trump's acting out.
Hmm.
Right? So politics is always one phase behind, but... It is the White House is really the most avant-garde response to the present, even though it's behind. And so it shows the closest to the present than anything else that's going on in maybe universities. Where
with Web 2.0, Bob, it was a switch from receiving to broadcasting. And so Trump, in a way, is mirroring that too, because he receives nothing. Like, he's not interested in really what others have to say. He's just broadcasting his...
Like everybody is. He's not listening.
Like everybody.
Anybody could be president. Anybody could be doing what he's doing.
Mm. You just need a Twitter account.
Yeah, and you need to be but what makes him better than everybody else is that
and a cell phone, Michael.
A billionaire. He can pretend he's a guy who's not owing anybody anything.
Yeah.
But you see, once
with
you get in there...
With TV experience. Sorry to interrupt you. With TV experience. He has TV experience.
Yeah. He has everything covered. He has the best resume. If we're going to have somebody, even though we're all equally just broadcasting to nobody listening... then you got to pretend you have somebody because you're an identity, you're a visually biased culture built on the books. So you got to have someone at the top. That's the illusion. So he qualifies in the newest ways of having the image of autonomy. He's a billionaire. He's done TV, successful everywhere, from being a horny playboy to being a nice family guy. He made a nice family. He's done it all, right? He's got the whole spectrum. And he comes in and then... The media are start interpreting them from their particular media angles or different quadrants, and they will see all the conflicted interests that Trump has to deal with. So they're summarizing, saying, well, he's up against the deep state. And the deep state is just the actual government of statistical programming on the tetrad management level. And so Trump, as a chemical body, is up against a five-bodied situation, and it's all imbricated, imbricated. It's all overlapped and intertwined, and he's going to be a while before he can break himself from all the obligations. So it looks like he's a chaotic administration because he's got to betray the all right and actually give a nod to somebody or a nod to the Freedom Caucus and blah, 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 all the different institutions, the old media, that are demanding attention in the media iconoscope to be visible. He's just tearing and ripping apart, but for a while it looks like he's giving up on his autonomous program.
According to Ion, he's working behind the scenes.
Mm. Yeah, he's doing everything behind the scenes, and that can't be broadcast. So the actual fact that a president never could do anything, like McLuhan said, he's just an automated presidential surrogate. There is no president position possible. So he's a surrogate for that, and he has to be a superlative nobody. Well, Trump's the first post-superlative nobody. He's a superlative somebody. That disrupts the role of the White House. And it's an obligation to be a mediator between all the environments that the White House represents. So therefore, we're not in that successful cover-up of all the imbrication of all the environments. So you bring a guy in who shows the actual intertwining of everything, it becomes a figure of chaos.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's actually showing, because he's allowing himself to be seen, of all the obligations you have to address. And, you know, you see this in TV shows like House of Cards, where the president, he's always fucking making nothing but deals with every fucking faction in the different parties. You ever seen that show?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. It's just constantly fucking answering the phone. Say, okay, yeah, we'll give you this. Then the other guy phones, and then you have to give him something. Do you know what I mean?
There's no governance involved. It's all manipulation.
Yeah,
there's
not manipulation, it's constant negotiation.
It's
ecology. Immediately, I do.